Hello and good afternoon. All right, we're here for another week of talking about Final Fantasy 14 stuff, which is fun. There was a little bit of a dry spell there where there wasn't much to talk about unless you wanted to get involved in just made up things to talk about. Joining me today is Cole and Chilling. Brian is out for a family thing going on, and Elio is off at PAX. Cole, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. It's a beautiful week here in Texas, and work's going well. And I'm just excited that we are getting close to the 14-hour live stream. Have you guys played any games this week?
Lots of Dragon's Dogma last night, not going to lie.
Okay.
Chili, what are you about to do? Rebirth. Still going through 7 Rebirth. And I jumped into 14 to make sure I got the Easter event done before it ends. Because the little Ladies Day / Easter event that was going on.
Okay. I've missed so many of those holidays over the years. Just easy to miss them. I kind of wish that in 14 that those would become like living things where you could do this year's and then you could do previous ones. That way, when like new people came into the game, it wasn't like
a
15-minute event. There would be like a ridiculous amount of events available by now.
Oh, yeah. But the issue with that is they sell a lot of the stuff on the mock station, so...
It is. There's a money reason not to do it because they sell those things later. Even if they didn't have the rewards, I just think it's weird that they write those quest lines only to delete them.
It is weird because like the Little Ladies Day events in the past, like I'm looking at like 4 years ago, it's like they had like the event with all the dancers and all the performers that you got a part of. And I'm just like, wow, new players have no idea how like legendary this event used to be. I thought it used to be one of the best events, and now it's like, shoot, now it's just merged in. I mean, it's still good, but...
And one of the darkest events. Like, I don't know if you ever did the side quest after one. I can't remember which year it was, but there was a quest you could do after.
Some of them...
The one where you're looking around for this girl... And then if you go to, then near the end of the quest line, you go to a shack to the parent. And he's like, no, she died like 20 years ago.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The one that made me mad was it was in like 2020. And basically like a rich Lalafell owned the cure to a disease and was making money off of it and decided he was going to be a good person and distribute the medicine to like a singular person that he cared about. And that was like this amazing thing he was going to do. But like the underlying text there is that he's still like extorting the rest of the realm that if they want the cure to this disease, that like he has it. And so like it was like, oh, and the Grinch's heart grew enough that he would give up a small amount of profit margin for one singular family. But
right.
Like everybody else has
less profit margin. It was probably more a tax thing more than a profit margin thing, to be honest.
Because it was while we were all trapped inside, and the idea that like a pharmacological company could just be making billions while everybody suffered, as long as they take care of those that they directly interact with in their real life, was just like a really dark overtone at a time that I was supposed to be like scared of people that were walking by my front yard. Like
it was right.
What is happening? Who wrote this? I play video games partially for escape, and I don't need that much of the real life coming into them. Like, let's take it down a notch.
Too real.
Well, good. Aww. Well, Final Fantasy 14 is about to begin the hype season, begins, I guess, in earnest tomorrow with the 14-hour live stream. But first, let's talk about these Final Fantasy.
No, tomorrow's not the 14-hour.
Saturday? Is it not tomorrow?
No.
Oh, tomorrow's just a... What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's just PAX.
Just PAX. Thank you. I'm not good at any of this.
Yeah, the 14 hours in
when
April.
Is the 14 hour?
Oh. In April sometime.
The wrong thing down on my calendar. I was so excited.
I can't remember when exactly off the top of my head, but it's like middle of April. Yeah, tomorrow's just PAX.
But it's my iCal, so it has to happen tomorrow now. That's it.
Saturday, 13th of April.
PAX. 14 hours in
some time zone.
August. Izzy, that's so far. Oh, for the anniversary. Guys, I don't know. I didn't sleep well last night. I'm all over the place. Ignore me. On the anniversary of 2.0. Thank you, Izzy. All right. Okay, so tomorrow is PAX. So what are we expecting to get out of Yoshi-P for PAX? For 14? You think we'll get a release date?
Yeah, that's the only thing that I think is plausible, because now we're like almost through March and then we'll be in April. And then I'm thinking like pre-orders, they probably want at least a good, I'd have said 3 months, but some people might be like, that's too pessimistic. I don't know.
Okay.
We're missing a release date.
After some information that has come up recently that I don't want to talk about on this podcast, I'm now expecting the release date to be later than I thought it was. I was expecting June. I'm now expecting at least July, August because of some stuff that I have seen. And I'm sure other people have seen it, because it's not like, there's just certain things you don't want to talk about in the public space.
Okay, so when I first predicted it, the latest I could see it launching was July 26th.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think it's going to be July.
Even that far in my range. And it is a long time. And July 26th really only landed well if there was a 6.6, which there will not be.
A certain watch is coming back at some point. Supposedly.
Oh, the Yokai?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool. Blue Mage was so good for that. I really love doing that.
And that event normally takes quite a long time. So, yeah.
There's nothing stopping it from going all the way up till expansion launch.
Yeah. But we already got a load of events are happening in the queue, because we've got the Final Fantasy 16 event coming up soon.
Yeah.
And then, so it's not going to drop before then. So it's going to be end of April, probably, when it drops.
Okay.
So that'd be like till, you know, 7.0.
That's a long gap. 6.5.8 being the last thing. So when do they do pre-orders? They announce pre-orders tomorrow?
Hopefully. Well, they.
Yeah, I hope
so. I don't know if they'll announce pre-orders tomorrow, because the collector edition, they'll want to give people time to actually pre-order the collector edition, right? Rather than just be like, it's out now, and everyone gets panicked and can't buy it.
They announce the date tomorrow for the date that you can order the game that does not have a date.
My guess is we'll get a release window of the game, and then we'll see the collector's edition of the stuff. Yeah, we'll see the collector editions.
It's funny and because I'm laughing too.
And okay. Then in April, we'll get the actual, because remember, 30th of April is the 14-hour broadcast. So on the 30th of April, they'll announce the pre-orders, maybe. Like, they'll tease what's in the collector edition in packs, because we don't know what's in the collector edition yet. So we'll see the collector edition packaging, DLs, and
I've
tees.
I've never bought one of those. Have either of you ever bought I bought the digitals, but I've never bought a physical collector's edition of any.
Yeah, but all the physical ones.
The only physical collector's edition I've ever bought was Breath of the Wild. That's it.
No, I bought all the Final Fantasy 14 collector's edition physical.
Only Endwalker.
That was because, like, to get a physical collector's edition, it has to be an overlap. You have to be at a time that you know you like that game that much, and you have the money. Yeah. And there have been times in life where I've been fortunate enough to have the money, and I've been saving up for, like, my first house.
I'm going to say that's my only issue like that. This time.
And then, but then I couldn't spend it on gaming. Or,
that's my only issue
I've
now
been
with
really passionate about gaming. I don't have any money. So...
I can say that's my only issue with the Square Enix store now, is the fact that they take your money straight away. Before, as a pre-order, and they would charge you around the release date.
Yeah, but now that screwed me over before. That has screwed me over, because what happens is...
That screwed you up before.
You get a new bank card or something like that, right? You get a new card issued, and then when they go to bill it, the number they have on file is no longer accurate, but you've long forgotten about that, and then you don't get whatever it is you ordered. So like I've pre-ordered things in the past and not gotten them. I almost didn't get my Xbox that way, because Xbox wasn't going to bill me. So like, given the choice, I would rather you bill me now. I understand not everybody's that way, but like, in my mind, once I've spent the money, I've spent the money. I'm not going to spend future money. So like, if I swiped it, you can charge me today. We're good.
I'm the same way.
I wouldn't swipe it assuming I'm going to have money in August. Like, I would rather swipe it with money now and then always think of that money as gone. So just take it.
I don't know. I'd rather be swiping now and paying in August once I know how much it, like, I don't know how much it is. Like,
now I have to track like an amount in my bank account that's like spoken for, but not spoken for. And then I need to remember, oh yeah, I lost my wallet. I need to go back.
I would just put the money into a separate account.
I got to let Square Enix know. Like
I would just prefer that. So that way, at least we know how much we're going to have to pay at some point. It's probably going to be like, what, 160, 170, maybe 200, I'm going to guess.
I think it's that I don't check
the physical enough.
Because they probably emailed me 20 times that my account information wasn't accurate, and just my my email is a black hole where things go to die. If I don't know what I'm looking for, it's got 7,000 unread emails, because the world is so full of spam now.
Yeah.
Same. Honestly, same.
Okay. So tomorrow, maybe we'll get a date about the date when we can order the game that doesn't have a date. That's PAX. Is there anything else coming out of PAX 2024 you guys are excited about?
Not that I could think of off the top of my head. I'm kind of like on copium that there might be like a little bit more detail about something 14 related for it, but I cannot see them doing like any major announcements at that time, especially because we know that we have the media tour coming up later. We have that like follow up in the middle of April. Like, nothing too much, at least for me.
Okay. All right. Then PAX is done. Let's talk about these Xbox coins. Can somebody explain the goofy math that sounds like Xbox both costs more and does not cost more?
Okay. Depending on your region, it can cost more. But it can also cost less. But depending on your region, it can cost more. Also, don't buy more coins.
This is a podcast where you're going to learn nothing. Welcome, guys. Yeah. This we're possibly getting a date or not getting a date about a future date where you may or may not be able to order something that does or does not have a date that after it's said date. Mm. And Xbox coins. They are both making Final Fantasy 14 more and less expensive. First of all, why are there Xbox coins? Like, why?
Because
at a fundamental level, does this happen? And does this happen with PlayStation?
No, it does not happen with PlayStation. With PlayStation, you can just go onto the Mog Station and buy your subscription. There is no Final Fantasy 14 coins on PlayStation. This is just an Xbox-only service because Xbox is Microsoft and Microsoft want you to do that.
And this function's different based on the region in which you live, right? Xbox coins are region-based.
Yeah, they're region-based. The price is based on your region. Just like anything, really. It's just currency. Like, yeah.
Okay. But I don't think you can transfer. Like, I think once you buy them, like, they are region-locked.
They're region-locked once you bought them.
Okay.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Just as a weird side note, in case anybody has a way of being gifted.
Well,
I don't know. I don't.
I'm going to guess if you've got, like, a North American PSN account. I mean, North American Square Enix account, but a EU American Xbox account. Maybe that'll work. Maybe. Okay. But, like, you can't just gift coins to people, so at least that I know about.
So you buy the coins on Xbox.
You buy the coins on Xbox.
Now, just to be ultimately clear, do you need Xbox Game Pass in order to play Final Fantasy 14 online?
Yes.
In all forms, free trial or otherwise?
Free trial, you do not need Xbox Game Pass. Free trial you do not need Xbox Game Pass for free trial. You need Game Pass Core. By the way, not Game Pass. You need Game Pass Core.
Okay. Game Pass Core is gold before Game Pass came to exist. As Game Pass has expanded as a system, they have added more layers, and that made the original layers of silver and gold not make sense anymore. So they labeled those in Core. Instead of being gifted a game that you own forever now, I think you have basically unlimited access to like a rotating library.
Haven't rotated yet.
And so anybody who had Xbox Gold and hasn't booted up their Xbox in years and remembers getting the little free time card when you bought a physical game, Game Pass Gold just literally became Core. So they are one and the same. But this made it more clear from a company that doesn't know how naming conventions work. It did make sense to have Silver, Gold, Pass Ultimate, all of that. Now, once you have 14 Core, you have the ability to get online. You can be subscribed to Final Fantasy 14. Keep in mind, in Final Fantasy 14, you have to buy a version of it for every platform you want to play on for the zones you want access to. So my PlayStation got through Shadowbringers. As long as I log out in a Shadowbringers zone, I'm fine. I can log in and like check on my house or whatever. But if I want to go into Endwalker zones, which I have on both Mac and PC, I think, then I can log in and out there. There would also be a Steam version. I don't see why you'd have PC and Steam. but there's also a Steam version of the game, and now there is an Xbox version. So you need to buy a license of the game for all of them, but it's one subscription can go to all of them.
Yeah.
That's how it's worked. Okay, and that includes Xbox. So the only thing that's changed is how you buy the Xbox versions.
Yeah, by that, it's only if you only own the Xbox version as well. If you own other versions, you can subscribe like normal. But if you're only an Xbox player, you have to go through the coin system.
Okay. So if I would like to subscribe on Xbox, I am exclusively an Xbox player.
Yeah.
I would now need to purchase my subscription within their ecosystem, which means that I have to transfer to their currency, which is not one-to-one with the dollar. So I'm always going to end up buying a little more of their currency than I intended, just like every other currency exchange.
It's why I was talking about the fact that it's the same price, but also cheaper. Because if you go for the entry sub is 1,300, which means you need 1,500 Microsoft, Pharmacy 14 coins, which means you then have to pay $15 for your $13 sub, which means that is technically $2 more expensive than normal.
Now, the thing about the coins,
but if you want,
is aren't there if you want purchases on the coins? So doesn't it get cheaper? Yeah, like if I bought $100, if I buy $5 of the coins, I think I only get like 500 coins. What happens if I buy $100 of the coins? Don't I get like a
You get 10,000 coins, but if you do the maths, it's cheaper to buy 10,500 coins than it is 10,000 coins.
Oh, I thought there was a discount in there.
500 coins is $4.99. 1,500 coins is $14.99. So $4.99 times 3.
Times 20. $4.99 times 20 is...
Well, no. 1,500 is times 3. 500 times 3 is 1,500.
This is why you can't have currency exchanges. This is why gacha games use them. Because you're sitting here trying to track the math. And if they could then convert this into gems and the gems over to doubloons and doubloons to little puffy woos, then you have no idea what your dollars are anymore. And then you're just spending them. And so when you buy an emote, you're like, that cost me half a triangle, which translates into 27 hats, which is obviously, I think, a dollar. So the advantage of currency exchange, the only advantage of currency exchange, is now you have separated yourself. As long as money cannot be extracted from that currency, you've separated yourself enough from tax code that they have the ability to kind of like give people currency. So like in these games where you log in, you get 100 gems a day. I don't have to declare that as income, even though the gems are also purchasable, because I have no way of extracting dollars out of the gems and I can just go buy whatever I want. That's the only advantage. Otherwise,
so if you buy 10,000 coins, you do save a little bit of money.
Don't you save like 11 cents?
30 cents.
That was close. I was close.
30 cents.
You save about 31 cents or something like that.
Why?
You should be able to buy a stamp with that. You can mail a letter to Alaska. As a different system that's wild. The idea that I could give a stranger through a box, 30 cents and a piece of mail, and they would take it to Alaska for me is wild. And people are like, that's not profitable. You think? Like, of course, how the hell is that ever going to be profitable? It's just cool. All right. So we have to buy the coins. We have to buy into their system to buy our sub. It doesn't really cost you that much more because 500 coins is $4.99. So they're almost a coin per cent. So it's not that big of a deal. So that's a little overblown, except for the fact that if you quit the game, just like a toll tag or anything else, you likely have a remaining balance. So if you play 1 month, there's a remaining balance. If you play 200 months, there's a remaining balance. But that remaining balance is always, there's always going to be a little rounding error that you have no ability to extract back out and is now locked inside the Xbox ecosystem. So that's it. Otherwise, this is all fine. Did I miss somewhere that people are upset?
Oh, God, I wish I remembered the exact name of the video, but there was a video talking about these middleman currencies and how, like, there were a whole lot of, like, other faults to it. Because, yeah, like, you can overspend it and, like, it decouples, like, your spending of the coins, like you said, like, for the flipper balls or whatever you said before. That was funny, but very true. So, like, it is inherently in and of itself, like, really not good. I remember Hearthstone introduced a system about like buying runes where you used to be able to just buy like packs or like hero portraits straight up with just money and know exactly what you're paying. And I remember everyone kind of revolted against that system, being like, this is one of the worst things ever. And so, well, not one of the literal worst things ever, obviously, but it was just like, not, the system's not good. And so I look at this, and this is not something that I kind of ever expected to see in 14 at all. I think, like, as much as I love this game and the developers, like, obviously that goes without saying, I think that this, it's hard for me to see it for 14 and be like, this is great. It's more like, ugh.
Does the sub actually end up costing more because Xbox is getting their hand in it, or does Square Enix just swallow that margin?
I think they swallow it because, okay. Yeah.
So they just see it as straight up growth. It's a lower margin, yeah. But better to have part of a dollar than none of a dollar because we're gaining players. Yeah.
That's fair.
So I said the standard more edition, the entry sub is more expensive because you have to buy more coins. But technically, it's the same price. But if you buy the standard one, it costs the amount of coins you buy. So I would, most people just go to standard, probably.
I know there's people that play on Steam because it helps them with currency and you know, it helps with their card. Kevin says they use the PlayStation, they use Krista for PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because the I tech use Krista. Card. So, like, there are times that this works to someone's advantage, as long as it's not just driving up the actual month over month cost. If somebody subscribed over a 5-year period, during that 5 years, is there a meaningful increase in cost to Xbox? And it does not sound like it. I understand there's always going to be a little bit of a balance, just like when you give somebody a gift card, what are the sheer odds they can spend it to the last penny? They're either going to have to put it in a little of their own money to use it all, or they're going to have to be okay with that card getting a tiny little balance left over and just getting left open. That's fine. Yeah. And then worst case, you have people who now have a couple extra coins, and from time to time, they yeet it into a Fantasia or whatever. Huh. Or going back and buying mounts from seasonal events that they missed. For any new players that are just getting into the space and starting to get to know this, seasonal event mounts basically release when that event comes back around. So, you know, if there's an event for March of 2024, then when we get around to March of 2025, we'll get a new event, and the old events items will now be available, and at a fraction of what a typical mount costs. They're like a couple bucks or something. They're just low enough that I don't feel bad about it, and just high enough that I don't buy them. And how WoW would get me is they would have a $55 complete your mount set or whatever, and it would even prorate it, and it would just go through and buy all the seasonal mounts that I've missed to date. And so, like, I don't know that Square Enix has ever done that, but just as a complete side note, I like those kind of complete your collection things where they're like, if you have none of it, here's what it costs and we'll break it down for you. Those absolutely make me feel like I'm somehow saving money on something I wasn't going to buy. So if Square Enix is listening, you could totally screw me into buying a bunch of mounts that I don't need. Just give me the ability to buy them in bulk.
I think that's a good idea, actually. Even I would appreciate that.
That'd be pretty cool.
All right, Final Fantasy 14 is more expensive outside of main currencies. You used to pay almost $350 for your sub back in the day compared to WoW's, which is $200. How does Final Fantasy 14 service their game? I know that WoW breaks it into regions, and so a region is serviced by like a provider in that region. I think Square Enix has even been a portion of how Blizzard makes it into Japan. And so they've always worked with local people. The advantage of that is then you would have people on the ground who are working, you know, if you have customer service reps, they speak the language, you know, they're getting you away from any regulations that maybe you didn't know about, because if they breach it, they were supposed to know. But also that means that anybody you hire in that region is at that region's cost of living. Because one of the hard things about this game and about any game is like, we're trying to all pay in what is a fair amount, but while hardware may cost a similar amount, maybe, people don't. And so if you have a customer service rep in the United States, that might cost more than a customer service rep in other parts of the world, or less. Do you guys know, does Square Enix, do they try to keep it all under their umbrella, or do they outsource like Blizzard does?
See, I wish I knew. If I knew the answer to that, I would try and answer, but I honestly have no idea.
It's why the region is so separate for Blizzard, because they literally are just separate entities.
I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I think that's it on Xbox coins. See, we're flying through the drama. In 30 minutes, we've already pushed right through the very first two things in the title.
Right.
So let's talk about Dawn Trail. What are you guys?
Yay.
What are you guys expecting? Are we getting any Dawn Trail news tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm expecting a decent amount. Like, we'll probably get some teasers of some areas still. They'll probably showcase more of the graphical update. Maybe we'll see more Lalafell cheeks. I don't know.
Oh, no.
But now rounder.
And you guys think the 14-hour stream is going to be... That should be after. We should be in Dawn Trail when we get to the 14-hour?
No, the 14-hour is in April.
Somebody said August earlier.
No, it's April.
Said August.
Was it for anniversary or April? Now I'm all confused. I'm not even sure anymore. I usually get reminders from others.
You know what? I will. I will even.
When is the 14 hours? Let's just Google it.
I'm going to put in our chat so that you can even go to the link to it. I know it's the EU one, but
no, April 12th. All right. Well, it's right around the corner. Thank you. Brian and I were texting and he brought it up and I was like, oh, it's right here. It's already here. And it wasn't here. That's PAX.
No. Yeah, April 12th.
Okay. April 12th. So what are we getting tomorrow knowing there's an event right around the corner at April 12th?
I said, that's why I don't expect the pre-orders to go live tomorrow, but I expect like a collector edition tease, maybe what's in the box, what the box looks like.
And then we will be allowed to actually give them
money
card information on April 12th.
Well, April like 14th, 13th, 14th, maybe. Like they'll give some time between the actual announcement and give them money. They'll give a date you can pre-order. Like it'll be like pre-orders will go live in a day, and then you've got that day to like make sure that you're ready at the computer for when they go live, so it doesn't sell out. Which
always sell out like immediately. So
yeah,
this gives everybody a chance that has not been saving money to maybe get some level of paycheck between now and then that they can launch into 14 related stuff. Okay. So April 12th. So this will be just an announcement. You think tomorrow is just what it is. And then April 12th, they'll announce a pre-order date that is after April 12th. Let's say April 14th, 18th, whatever, something in the near future. This is where I wish I'd been documenting that stuff. I wish I knew how they did it in the past. I track patch dates in the spreadsheet because I want to know when content arrives. But when we get around these orders, this is something that I feel confused every single time. Every 2 years, it comes back around and I'm like, I don't know what order all this stuff falls in because these announcements and all that, because they're so subject to conventions anyway. So like they're going to PAX no matter where PAX falls within their hype cycle because they go to PAX. And then they just slot what they're going to stay on stage. But they have the stage for 2 hours tomorrow. I mean, the first hour, you could just rehash everything about the upcoming expansion for all the people that are exposed to it through PAX that have not been following 14 specific things. But what do you do with the rest of that?
Is it 2 hours?
That's what Izzy said. Izzy's been right about everything else.
Yeah.
I feel like I could...
Endwalker Pre-Order was just a dropped blog thing on the Lodestone.
Yeah.
Shadowlands was announced at a live event. Then the spreadsheet wouldn't even help me. Okay. So they're just winging it. It's just a marketing team that just does whatever feels right at the time, which I guess makes sense. Like the way we consume games has changed so much over the years. All right.
Oh, yeah. 2 hours.
So what else do you think they'll reveal tomorrow? Do you think they'll start to tell us any more about story, people? Get a chance to show us a trailer, right? 6.5, 5.8 and all that. Like they could show a trailer.
Yeah. Maybe consider the fact the Pharmacy 16 event is just before the Pharmacy 14 event, or at least around the same time. It could be that they just it's just before the Pharmacy 16 event's at 3:30, and then the Pharmacy 14 event's at 4:00. So it could be they also do a showcase of all the Pharmacy 16 content that's coming into 14. The new trial, the outfit, the mount. Like they could go through showing some of that off, I guess.
And with that title, A 10-Year Journey to Dawn Trail, there's plenty there. They don't have to reveal anything tomorrow. They can just tease us and then take 4 or 5 good questions. Okay, cool. And then Logan asked a question that's going to come up a lot in the coming months as people start to A, explore, come back to the game, B, go to the new platform. If you own an Xbox and you already have Game Pass because you're an active Xbox player and you already play the game on another platform, all you need to do is acquire that platform. That's the same as if you bought your first Mac and you're a Steam player. I think you could just boot up the Steam version, but you would just need to buy it on Mac if you wanted it to run there, or PlayStation. So anytime you want to jump platform, your sub carries and you can keep playing it. So you do not need to pay a second sub for Final Fantasy XIV ever. One sub's good to go. Remember, there are multiple sub levels. So if you only have one character, there's like a cheaper sub, right? If you're going to limit the number of characters you have. So you have an entry sub, and then there's a way to increase that if you know you're somebody who likes to have more than one character. And maybe you can take that savings and you can launch that into additional retainers, because retainers are just a monthly add-on. And if you turn those retainers off, they freeze. You don't have access to your inventories. They don't delete or anything. And then if you ever want to add those back, you can, you know, maybe you only use those for times when you do a lot of crafting or whatever. You can always add those retainers back on and they'll unlock. I don't think you get to choose which retainers you're paying for or not. I think they go in the order that you bought them. So plan your inventory accordingly. But I think the maximum you can pay for Final Fantasy XIV is like $35 a month if you pay for the app, an account with multiple characters, and the max number of retainers. And then it goes all the way down to like $12 or $13 or something. So it's a pretty healthy range.
Could just remember that if you are about to
buy a PC version and pay the sub.
Yes.
Yes. If they had like a netbook that could barely run the game, could just kind of struggle, they could boot it up on the netbook. They could pay their sub over there, and then they could avoid buying coins altogether. Absolutely.
But remember, though, if you are playing on Xbox, you do have to do some set. I've said this on a couple of podcasts before, and people, just to make sure that people understand this, before you boot the game up, you do have to change some settings on the system before you can play the game. You can't just play the game. You have to change some fundamental system settings. So if you want to play on Xbox, just a heads up, if you're booting out for the first time, you know, because you didn't do the beta, you will have to go into settings, account, privacy and online safety, Xbox privacy, view details, communications and multiplayer. And then you have to go through some options. You have to select, you can join multiplayer games, set that to allow. You can join cross-network play, set that to allow. Others can communicate with voice, text, or invite. Set that to everybody. You can communicate outside of Xbox with voice and text. Set that to everybody. And also, if you want to view previous details and customization menu, you have to go to, you can see and upload communications. Set that to everybody. With those on, you can then play your Final Fantasy 14.
Depending on how you set your Xbox up, a lot of that may already be on. I will tell you, you'll run into that exact same set of issues if you try to play in a Call of Duty cross-platform lobby. I have had friends that can't join. So it's an identical set of permissions, but basically it's parental controls that are stopping you from engaging with online people outside of the walled garden that is Xbox. So anytime you're starting to invite in PlayStation players or PC players, there's a whole bunch of settings that stop you. But the nature of an MMORPG says you have to enable all that stuff. So it is just as convoluted as what Chili said, but only one time. And once you have it, you'll need that on.
That's what I said. If you'd done it for the beta, you're okay. But I guess if you'd also done it for like Call of Duty, you're okay. But it's because Microsoft by default doesn't want people to communicate with PlayStation. So they have it by default.
Okay. Cool. Well, then let's shift to Dawn Trail. So in April, we have a 14-hour live stream. There should be a live letter tied to that. That was about the time for the right live letter, right? So we should have a live letter tied to that. They've revealed both jobs. We've seen the new race. We've seen some zones. We've got a general guideline of the, they're just on summer vacation, except that it's a giant political drama and you're going to be split to teams. And that's right. So like, what is left to, and then we've started to see, we know there's a raid. We know there's an alliance raid. We started to see some kind of base things fall into place. I think we've had like, but what we're missing is we're missing benchmark and we're missing some clarity on what some of the side systems be. Now, based on some of the interviews, it sounds like some of those side systems, they're not going to reveal right away because honestly, if it's set for something like 5.3.5, it's not done. So I don't know that they need to do that. As far as things that we'd announce now, as far as what people will ask for, the other thing we're missing is battle updates and job actions. That will not be at the 14 hour. So just to kind of, so what we've got between here and launch is we've got at least one more live letter. We don't know launch date yet. We've got at least one more live letter. Then we'll have a media tour about a month out from the launch date. And the media tour will be under an embargo. And then there will be a job action trailer that comes out basically like right around that embargo date. I think that's how it was. So what'll happen is they'll have something and they won't go over it in as much detail, but then like immediately after you'll have all of these people who are invited to the media tour. So, you know, people like Mr. Happy, things like that, they will have gone dark and you will suddenly not see them talking about 14 at all because they will not want to breach an NDA. And then they will all of a sudden come out with 20 million videos all on the same day. It's how it's been done in the past. And that is where we will actually see people go over all of the tooltips. Now, typically they leak. So people are usually speculating beforehand, but those are people who do not have maybe access to, they have not played it. And then the other thing is we're always focused on tooltips without the content to go with it. So you're always applying the tooltips to current content and then deciding if they're good or bad, but you're not seeing like the context of like, well, every encounter is going to be designed with more of this in mind. And so in trade for that, we've made an adjustment to the way everybody works. So it usually takes pretty profound experts to get it right. And even then it's a guess. So there are sometimes we can look back and see people who predicted the 2-minute meta was going to turn out the way it did. But there were also a lot of people who didn't predict that. So that'll be a little bit later. It doesn't mean we won't get tooltips along the way. So I think in the past, they've sometimes revealed one or two tooltips. So if they already have one ready to go, they could. Do you guys think they do any of that as early as April 12th?
I think that they might do a touch. Yeah, not really, but maybe just a little. Maybe? Okay.
Trailer benchmark would be a great prediction. I wonder if with the graphics update, if it's ready.
I think that's amazing. The main thing is seeing if the graphics update is ready and if Hrothgars have hats yet. I'm sorry.
According to the Viper art, no.
And the trailer, no.
No.
I think it would be weird to design the female Hrothgar capable of all hats because they would likely have to look very different than the male Hrothgar. So I think you're going to want to build them in a way where they look cohesive. And that means that they're going to inherit some of the problems with the male Hrothgar, that their head shape just doesn't function.
I mean, if it's anything like the Pharmacy, well, I guess we've seen them, but like the Pharmacy 10, the female Ronto looked completely different to the male Ronto. So that was an interesting, well, they were, you know, kind of the same, but not very. For anyone that doesn't know, you know, the female Hrothgar existed before in Pharmacy 10.
I know that's frustrating. I know that it's incredibly frustrating to people that play. Like I think I didn't really understand it until as an Endwalker player, I went back and completed the story for the first time. And I did it as a male Hroth. And so it was like being a new player. And every time that I got like a new set, like a new AF set, and I was really excited to put it on, or every time I got a quest item that I was supposed to equip, and then it didn't display. That was really frustrating. Like when I'm doing the warrior quest or whatever, they give, I don't know if the warrior one works, but like, and they're, you're like unlocking, you're going through this quest and you're getting each piece and you're becoming more of a warrior with each piece. So you're supposed to be putting it on as you go. But when you get the helmet, they're like, oh, wow, what a difference. But like, there's no visual difference. So I found that more relatable once I did that. I'm not a huge glamour guy. Like it's fine. I run around in a metallic blue pig suit. But I did find that disappointing. So it seems weird to me that that's still an issue. And more importantly, that there's still items being added now. Like, why would the Viper set not be designed in a way that could go on Hroth? Like, I understand why we haven't gone back and corrected A Realm Reborn. I don't understand why Dawn Trail will add items to the game that cannot go on Viera or Hroth.
Yeah, it's... I think that the developers are definitely worried about clipping issues, like with the ears and like hair and that. And I know I said it last week, but I can't emphasize it enough. Clipping is fine with me. I'd rather have the options because even with hoods, there is, I think it's from one of the Nier raids, there's like a hood that ninjas can wear that Hrothgar, that actually shows up on Hrothgar. And it's like that, it looks fine. It looks good. Like there are hoods in games. So seeing the Viper hood not be there is odd because there already are some hoods that do work. not all of them, but there are a few.
Do you guys think we'll ever get another race? Yoshi P has said no, is the official statement. After female Roth, we're done.
Do you? I really doubt it.
Change?
Unless
I think we're too far into. Sorry, Cole.
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing with you. Unless, like, there's some massive community uprising, like, we need some particular race. I couldn't see it.
Like, I feel like we're too far into the game's lifespan that adding another race would be so much effort, like, making sure that all the armor works from all the different expansions. Like, no, I think we're too far in now.
I agree with Izzy that there's already so much clipping in-game that, like, worried that somebody might find a way to screenshot something janky one time doesn't even seem like in the ballpark of a concern because there's so much of it. It's like, it just let it clip. You already let so many other things clip. As in Makote, like the rules on whether or not my tail sticks through something or is magically stuffed in there without creating some weird butt bulge. Like it just appears random. Like they just rolled a dice every time they made a piece of gear and that determines whether or not they chop my tail. And it doesn't like move the flap with it. Like if there is a flap, if there is a slit that my tail's going through, it's not like it matches it to the slit. It can just clip. So like it just seems weird that they don't just let it clip. You know, I understand testing it long enough that you know it's not going to like create some sort of graphical bug that's going to, I don't know, crash your client or something weird. So like if they want to do it slowly, fine. But, you know, like you said, if there is a hood working, okay, all hoods should work now. let's go through and let's work on hoods, guys. This is the hood update. Everybody's getting working hoods.
Yeah, just base it off of the ones that work. Like, I'm fine if there's a variation. I feel like I've played Rothgar since they were ever announced. And I feel like over the years, I've gotten just used to it. I know it's only been, 3-4 years or whatever, but it's like, I hate that I've gotten used to it. It's like right now I'm using headphones in game because they work. I'm like, darn it. But then other players I talk to are like, yeah, I'm not playing a Rothgar because I actually really do value hats and hair. And I'm like, shoot.
I don't know. I think it's bizarre. It doesn't feel reasonable. I got to get a new camera before Dawn Trail comes out. So I don't know that they're going to be ready to address that. I think that would be one of the things that's going to come out of the benchmark as a complaint is people are not going to see, they're not going to see hats on female Roth, but I would be excited to see the benchmark come out in April. I don't know if they're ready. I think the graphical update means the benchmark could wait until like the last possible second, but it would be nice if the benchmark was out before pre-orders just because it kind of tells people, do I need to budget for hardware? So the sooner the better. Knowing how the game runs. For people that want to run the game with settings, I prefer frame rate over graphics any day. So like I would always just set my settings lower if my hardware wasn't keeping up. I actually play with pretty low settings typically anyway, because I run a lot of stuff at once. And like when I was streaming and sometimes, you know, or if I have multiple games running or something like that, it's like, I would always prefer that. But I know there are people that play this game because it's beautiful and the graphics update should make that really exciting. For people that prefer prettier games, what an exciting time to be a 14 fan.
Oh, yeah. The new zones are just amazing. Like, I actually saw the footage. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, the density of, like, the, I don't want to call it clutter, just a world building was so much bigger. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's actually really good.
So, according to Google, the Endwalker benchmark came out July 11th, and Endwalker didn't drop till December. So, we're late.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we're late.
I feel like even hoping
well, we know July at this point. July 26th is the latest I predicted the game. I've been kind of focused on things in my life. Like having a date would help me so much. In the past, I've heard of people like, hey, I need to play on PTO and stuff like that. But that's how I feel.
That'd it's be like, me.
I'm making some big progress on my office here. You can't tell, it's blurry behind me, but I'm making some progress. And so like the goal is to kind of start wrapping up some of the big steps here next week. But like I want all of those things, house projects, other games I want to play. I want to have those things set aside for Dawn Trail. And so that's not an uncommon thing as people have busier lives. You know, some of you are playing through single player games right now, or you have goals outside of game, and knowing when that needs to be wrapped up by, I think makes it easier to focus on the game because when an MMO launches, it does kind of take a lot of your time. Like, it takes an unnatural amount of time.
And we have a crazy... I know we're just Final Fantasy 14, but there was a crazy amount of MMOs this year for summer. Like I think this is probably the MMO summer, if anyone...
I played 105 hours of Endwalker the first week it came out.
Yeah.
That's not possible without planning.
Yeah.
And with... it was made, like, being a full-time student helped. Because otherwise you have to have the PTO to do that. All right. Shadowbringer benchmark was May 23rd, and the launch was July. Mm. Much closer.
Yeah, that is much closer.
Yeah, I played 105 hours. So people who were waiting in the login queues, the answer was get on early and don't get off.
It really was.
That's fine. Don't
or just get good
log on in the morning and don't log off.
The or play on a, in a completely different region like I do. Like I it wasn't early in the morning for me, but I played on North American server. I play on North American servers, so it's early in the morning for America. So I can be on at 12 and it'll be like 6 a.m. there. I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is fine.
See, I really hope we do get a date because I actually do need to book PTO. My manager is a saint, but it's just like,
yeah,
nice to have advanced service.
Well, I think that's the summary today. Xbox coins, not that big of a deal. PAX, we're looking at maybe getting some dates on things, but likely not a huge amount of information for everybody that has been hanging on every word.
We're still going to get the main thing is probably going to be getting the date for the Final Fantasy 16 collab, because we don't technically have that date yet. And consider the fact they're going from a Final Fantasy 16 panel straight to Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker. Like, I bet you there's going to be the date for the 16 event.
Okay. Cool. Well, I think that means it's time for 20 questions.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
Logan says, would it be smart to go to one of the less populated data centers? I'm in Crystal. Crystal is actually one of the least populated data centers as well, along with Dynamis. But yes. But that's the whole reason for the test of the cross-region data center stuff that's coming next week. They want it, because I don't know if you heard about that, the fact that they're testing cross-region data center travel.
Yes. In theory,
yeah.
that is a big difference. They are working on having some cloud data centers spun up as well, which would hopefully allow people on more populated data centers to have what may turn out to be like a less optimal experience in some way, but be able to get in the game at all. So hopefully that allows
but not them just
to
that,
scale
they,
the game up and then scale
but it not just the, but not just that, but they've also announced the fact that from Monday, if you're on EU, NA, or Japanese data centers, you'll be able to jump over to the Australian data center. And this is to test the cross data center features so that they can lower the amount of people logging
less in. Less populated data centers is better, to answer your question simply. Yeah. However, when you have people that are playing 60, 70, 100 hours in their first week, there is going to be a complaint of, why don't they just have more servers? Because in the short, it's a short-term problem, right? After that first week, I didn't play 105 the second week. I played 60. And then the third week, I played 40. And then the fourth week, I played, 27. So, it's a short-term demand problem. It is better if you are on a less populated data center. What I will tell you, in my experience, I never ran into Raubon Extreme. I was playing on launch days during all these expansions. What has helped me is being willing and able, and you may not be able or willing to shift my play hours. So everybody who says, I get off work at 5, I go home, I have a nice dinner, and then I try to hop on for just 2 hours of gaming and I can't even get on. You've picked the most optimal path. And so you are in that queue with everybody else. So ask yourself, well, would I be willing to game in the morning? Because I never had any issues because I just am like, okay, well, I'll play from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., right? That same 2 hours and then go to work. And then, but in the mornings I do whatever. Okay, well, in the mornings I work out. Well, can you work out in the evening during peak gaming hours for those first couple of weeks?
That'd be smart.
Just like people that were willing and able to do that had a much better Endwalker launch experience than anybody based on data center. There are people who can't shift their schedule and they just get stuck with the queues and it is what it is. But if you can get away from just the crowded at time of day, you're much better off. I was hopping off for the night, during the first month the first week I just played nonstop, but the second week and beyond, I was hopping off as it was getting crowded. I was done for the day. So if any of you have flexible work hours or something like that, see if you can go into work a little bit late and you will most likely have a much better experience.
Before we leave this question, I just want to make 2 points because those points are super duper important for like any launch. But like in terms of data center choice, there's 2 big factors on my mind. The first one is housing, especially because I'm on Gilgamesh on Aether data center. It's incredibly competitive to get a house. It is brutally hard, like genuinely brutally hard to get any
house. I don't know.
If you're interested. What?
I bought my house by accident in Gilgamesh, so maybe I was just lucky.
Oh my god. Yeah, see, there are people that I know that are like ravenous if they heard that.
Like, the medium ones, yeah, I've been having trouble getting with, but I got a small one by accident. Like,
get the small. On Sarg, there were people complaining nonstop that I'm in a lottery with 6 billion people and I never get it and it's unfair. And there were just small ones just wide open week over week. You would have been the only bidder. So everybody says, I wish I could just.
Oh, no, this was before the bidding system.
I wish I could just have a house.
This was before the bidding system. This was when it was still R&D clicking.
Like when they did the big purge, it took a lot of weeks for those smalls to fill up.
Oh, yeah. But no, I got my house on Gilgamesh when it was still RNG and click. I logged in and there was tons of people outside the house. I'm like, you know what? I already have a house on Primal. I don't care. I just want some money from doing some Palace of Dead. I don't care. God. I'm not going to bother. And then I was like, okay, I've got work to do. I went to work, came back, logged in for lunch. I'm like, oh, there's nobody at the house. I guess it's sold. Clicked it. And they're like, do you want to buy the house? Yes, you've bought the house. Oh, okay. And then I got some messages saying that, oh my God, we've been queuing up for hours and you took my house. I'm like, okay, well, it's mine now.
Also, I saw the comment from Izzy. That is so true.
I made it through the clicking system.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But it's now scary though, because I have an FC in a medium house next to me. And then the FC only has 2 members, right? And they've decided the best idea is to buy the house to the other side of me and in front of my... So the FC has all the houses around mine and they come into my house occasionally to write weird messages in my guest book. Yeah.
I actually love that. That's amazing.
Cool. Well, Slinky says just wait. That's the other option. Some games I feel like I can just wait. Some games I don't want to. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
What's your first question?
How to start it off? This is tricky. Is it a role-playing game?
It is not a role-playing game. For anybody just now knowing, at the end of every show, we do 20 questions. They have 20 questions to get to the video game. It could be any video game throughout time on any platform.
Well, that's why we're going to try and slice time. Was it made after 2000?
No, it was not made after 2000.
Ooh.
Hey.
Oh, shoot. I'm trying to think how to break it down. Okay.
There we go. We've sliced some time.
Yeah. I don't want to ask another genre question. Would that be okay if I asked another one, Chili?
Yeah, fire away.
Is it a shooter?
It is not a shooter.
Oh my god, no.
It must be yes-no questions.
Yeah, they have to be yes-no. But we have asked some stuff to clarify in the past. Like, if we're a bit confused on the answer, like, it's not a question, but like, just to clarify an answer that we've had. Like, when I've asked about, is it made after the 2000s before, and he said yes, I wasn't sure if that included 2000. Because, you know, technically, January 1st, 2000 is after 2000. So... Okay, well, let's cut it down a little bit more. Is it on a CD-based system?
No, it was not released on a CD-based system.
Well, that... Okay, I just want another question where I want to clear this up. Do you count the Sega Saturn as a CD-based system because it had a CD drive?
No, we've gone over that. No, its original form did not come on a disc.
Okay, good. I just wanted to double check that because Cole is here and I don't know if he knew that the Sega Saturn had a CD drive.
I feel bad. I don't know what that is. The Sega Saturn.
I think it's before your time, Cole.
No. Sorry.
Oh, you got to remember, Cole, I might not look it, but I'm nearly 40.
Oh my gosh, you don't look or sound it. No, you've aged gracefully. I look like that too.
Yeah. Ducks with swords often do age gracefully.
All
right.
So
it's the material on my back. I've got ageless. Ageless equipped with MP absorb.
Nintendo 64 release date. Okay, I just Googled that.
That was 1997, right?
I think so. Yeah, it looks like it was 1996. Yes.
I hate myself.
Chili, is it okay if I ask if it was on that, or do you want me to not say that?
Far away. Find whatever you want, what you are.
Was it on the Nintendo 64 by any chance?
It was never released as an N64 game.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, never released as a... Oh, no, because damn it, that would be... Okay, never mind. Okay. Was the console released before 1995? No. Yeah, I've asked now, so I might as well.
The original platform was released before 1995. That's six. Very quiet now.
Yeah, because I just Googled PlayStation 1 release date, and I'm like, oh, that was 9th of September 1995. I'm like, shoot. Now I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, we're looking at the Atari's Mega Drive, Nintendo Entertainment Systems, Super Nintendo, Master System.
Yeah, we've gone back a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Brian picked Helldivers one week. It was totally the opposite direction.
I mean, Sega Genesis was released on 1989.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you use the word Genesis in America, don't you?
We do. I had one. I still have it somewhere.
That was called the Mega Drive here, so.
I think it's in a drawer.
Same, I still have it. And the chewed up cables from my dog. Oh, no.
I still have the price on my copy of Sonic & Knuckles. It was £70.
Now, God, I don't want to just start naming consoles, or should I, Chili? I don't know.
Oh, I mean, you could name the, you could ask if it's region, what region it's from.
Oh. That would be a good one, but what region should I ask? Like, okay, so was the game developer based in North America?
No. The game developer was not based in North America.
I'm going to guess that it's based on Japan, because there wasn't really many European companies back then, I remember. But we'll ask. Was the game developer based in Japan?
Yes, the game developer was based in Japan. That's eight.
Yeah.
So that probably means it's a Super Nintendo system then, right?
No, Sega's Japanese.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, I actually didn't know that. No.
they got a Sega of America branch, but no, there was always conflict between Sega of America and Sega Japan. That's one of the reasons why the Sega systems died out, because they kept fighting internally with each other.
See, I'm learning a lot today. I have no idea about the console stuff. Now I'm learning all this stuff. I'm actually getting schooled today. I'm actually learning a lot. So, I'll ask, was it based on the SNES system? Or, like, did it play on that system?
No, it was never released on SNES. That's nice.
I mean... Did the console have lots of extra hardware additions, like you know that you could like the CD, the 32? Did it have a load of like hardware additions you could buy?
Like, were there accessories?
Yeah, hardware accessories.
Yes, there were hardware accessories for the platform.
Okay, well that actually is a double-edged sword, because that could mean anything. All the bad questions.
Oh no,
that's 10. I had hardware accessories. For it.
Oh my.
For the platform. I think I owned every platform released prior to 95.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was bred into gaming.
I don't want to just ask.
Contra was a shooter, so it can't be that slinky, because we asked, is it a shooter?
Yeah, we did. It's not a shooter.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, could be
there.
You've thinned it down quite a bit. You got 10 questions to go.
Yeah.
Not RPG, not a shooter. Sorry, I literally wrote it all on notepad and I'm trying to think what would be an effective next question. What, was it like a platform game? Like a platformer?
It was not a platformer. 11. Izzy's got it. Yeah. Cart game just means not. Released on disc.
Yeah. Not as in the cart cart. Was it a racing game then?
Not a racing game. 12. I think it'll blow my mind if this game wins.
I actually have no idea what it could be off the top of my head right now.
I have not racing, not platform. Ideas, but... Oh, God. It seems so dumb if this would be it, though. I don't want to ask because the question might be too specific. Is that
far away? Yeah.
I can't ask what the game, if I guess the game wrong, like it's game over, right?
No, it's just, no. Just a wasted question. Yeah. You could guess eight games and be done.
Shoot.
Oh God, imagine if it is Paperboy. That's technically not a racing game, but it's still on a, yeah.
I try to pick games I just assume everybody played, but I also picked a game that might have been before Cole was born.
Oh no. Sorry. Oh no. Oh shoot.
It can't be Mario Kart because I would consider Mario Kart racing.
Oh, did we ask if it was a racing game or not, though?
I asked if it's racing. And he said no.
Oh, shoot. Not a racing game. Or I missed that one.
Don't worry.
So it's got to be like a puzzle game then.
Is that a question?
No. No.
Ah.
I'm also trying to Google like potential games that it is, and like nothing's really fitting that I'm seeing. I'm like, what would be here?
Got 8 questions left. There's still plenty.
Is the title of the game less than 10 characters long?
The title of the game less than 10 characters long. Do you count? So what define a character, by the way, just because Chili's going to come back and ask a follow-up.
Oh, like the title of the game?
Yeah, what do you consider? Is a space a title?
Because Chili's always hyper-precise.
Oh, yeah, I'd consider a space a character.
Okay. It is not more than... It is not 10 or more characters.
It's not watching. Oh, I have... Does the title have a space in it at all?
No.
Sorry, now I'm thinking because it's there.
That's 14.
Wait, that's two questions,
that's two
right?
Two questions.
Yeah.
What were does what were the questions again? So I can write them down.
Is it 10 or more characters? No. Does it have a space in it? No.
You know what? In some ways, that kind of rules out one of the games I was thinking of anyway.
Yeah, I'm like, am I allowed to just share with Chili what I think it is without actually like asking a question?
Okay, you just tell me when you're ready to ask a question.
Okay, I'm thinking like Bomberman or Tetris for some reason, but I am not confident on either of those.
I mean, how about this? Is it in a handheld? On a handheld?
Yes, it's on a handheld.
Well, there's your Tetris hand. And I get another question right because he asked two.
Okay.
I'm guessing. Is that okay, Cole?
Yeah.
Is it a platformer? Not a platform. Is it a puzzler? Sorry.
It is a puzzle game.
There you go. Cole, do you want to say, is it Tetris?
Is it Tetris?
It is Tetris.
Oh, thank God.
No. I thought at 10 you weren't going to get it. I thought there was no way. I was like, wow. Imagine if one of the greatest, like...
I should know Tetris, no.
...known games of all time escapes.
Imagine if I'd been like, so can you beat it by using the tap method?
It came with 35 million copies, makes it to question 17. Way to go, guys.
No. Hey,
you know what?
And that's just the legal copies. Never mind emulation.
And as I said, do you know about the tap method where people are beating the gun so far into the game?
They've gotten so far. It's been beaten now.
Yeah. Yeah. Tetris has finally been beaten. The unbeatable game has been beaten.
That's great. Well, this was delightful. It was fun to talk about 14. We didn't really have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're getting to that part of the season where like we don't have more information yet, but we are getting to the point where there are people just joining the conversation. So they'll kind of re-release information. So tomorrow's PAX, there'll be a 2-hour panel talking about the 10 years up to Dawn Trail. And then we'll see if we get anything new out of that. And then April, we will have the 14-hour stream, which will have a live letter as part of it. We still don't have pre-orders. We still don't have a benchmark. Remember, for anybody that will start seeing job action trailer and class changes get brought up a lot, those don't usually come out until right before launch, about, you know, in that kind of like 4-week window, like literally right up against launch. So it'll be a while on that. And even then, they'll have like a big giant disclaimer subject to final balancing and anything like that. So potency numbers, for example, should not be trusted. The general idea of the abilities seems to be okay, but the potency numbers could still be swung quite a bit. Well, great. Thank you both. Where can people find you? Cole?
Yeah, so mostly I just make YouTube videos under Cole Evix, and it's going to be all about Final Fantasy 14 guides, patch note reading, summaries, information dumps. So, yeah.
Chili, what you got going on?
Well, normally I stream on Moogle Go Round on Twitch.tv and Moogle Go Round Radio, but I'm taking a little bit of break for personal reasons. So I'm taking a little break, but my co-host Paul will be streaming Dragon's Dogma 2 over on our channel. So go check out his playthrough. You can also catch up on my Final Fantasy VII Rebirth playthrough over on our YouTube channel, where I've uploaded pretty much everything that I've done that's been added over time on YouTube. So you can watch it in piecemeal. So I think I've got like 30 plus videos that are lined up until like June. So yeah, please go look forward to it.
Perfect. Well, thank you both. Thanks everybody for being here. Had some great additions from chat today. Appreciate you all. Hope you have a great rest of your week. And we'll see you next week. Maybe Brian will be back. Take care.